The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. Mm-hmm. I am Ben Stevens. We are live in studio on this Tuesday together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. DRS, 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time with a huge recap and a focus on the NBA post. Season. Round number two, game ones in a couple of spots with our odds on favorites to win conference crowns. And some underdogs had themselves a night. The Knicks in Boston in overtime and the Nuggets in thrilling fashion in Oklahoma City. We'll recap everything for you and tell you what that means for the series the rest of the way here over these 3 hours. Around MLB, we will go. Some playoff action on the ice. Round number two up in the six in Toronto. So much to get to here, DRS, over these next 3 hours on this Tuesday.
Absolutely looking forward to it. And again, the song would be "Who Let the Dogs Out?" In NBA round number two. My goodness, it's the attack of the underdogs right now. And you absolutely love to see it, because the one thing we love, extended series here. We don't want quick series. And it looks like we're not only getting at least gentlemen sweeps, we're getting game sixes, maybe even game sevens. I'm looking forward to handicapping that and breaking it all down, but also Major League Baseball as well. Full card today, ready to get back after it. It's raining in the Northeast, but it's bright and sunny in the studio, baby.
We love a full card on a Tuesday, all three MLB clubs, 15 games on the diamond. So much to get to you here. Two DRS's point. The night of the underdog in the NBA postseason. Conference semifinals starting in two spots at the home of the reigning champs in Beantown inside TD Garden. The Boston Celtics, 9-point favorite against the New York Knicks. The one seed out west in the NBA title favorites in the Oklahoma City Thunder. 10.5-point home favorite in OKC against the Denver Nuggets. Should have been easy, right? Yeah. Should have been a relatively simple Monday night. Wrong. For the first time in the last 25 years, two underdogs of at least 9 points win outright on the same night in the NBA postseason in both of the games that we had. Let's start at the home of the reigning champs, the Boston Celtics. Again, 9-point home favorite against the New York Knicks to start off this second round set. Boston up by as many as 20 DRS early in that third quarter to only see the lead evaporate as we entered the fourth, courtesy of OG Anunoby in that fourth and final quarter, courtesy of Jalen Brunson. And then in OT, stellar defensive play after stellar defensive play from Mikal Bridges. The Knicks pull off a tremendous upset in Beantown. 108-105, winning outright as a 9-point road dog in game number one in OT.
Pretty incredible as you watch it play out, too, because you saw the first quarter. It's like, okay, the Knicks are going to be around. They're going to be competitive here. And by the second quarter, it's like, man, can we already get through to the Eastern Conference Finals and just let the Celtics through? But you want to give a team credit for bouncing back. It was the Knicks last night. And you talked about OG Anunoby, 10 of 20 from the floor, 6 triples made in that game, 29 points. Also Brunson, 5 triples made in that game, 29 points. Usually in a close game on the road as an underdog, you have to make sure you're ultra efficient. They only shot 42% from the floor as a team from the New York Knicks, but also only 54% from the free throw line and still were able to get that victory. We'll talk much more about this game a little bit later, but so impressive for the Knicks. Looked like they were going to get blown out. Ah, what are you going to do? We'll be back in game number two. No, they now have the series lead and also home court home-court advantage in the other garden now.
These two rivals, DRS, as we have alluded to time and again, their first playoff meeting in 12 years since the 2013 NBA playoffs. That was a round one set that the New York Knicks won in six games. So you take that intensity and you ratchet it up into the second round of these NBA playoffs. And it wasn't just the history, DRS, between the Knicks and the Celtics, regionally, geographically, historically, bitter foes along the East Coast. It was also what we had seen this year. One of the stories around the Knicks, who would be able to provide a test to the Celtics and or the Cavaliers? The Knicks 0-4 straight up, just 1-3 against the number against these Celtics throughout the regular season. And really, as we got midway through that third quarter and Boston extended its advantage, DRS, to 20 points with fewer than 6 minutes remaining in that third stanza, it felt like, okay, here we go. We have seen this story time and again this season. The Knicks just not really to the level, not really on that tier of the Boston Celtics. But then they started having other ideas. OG Anunoby and Jalen Brunson critical in those final two quarters in the second half to force overtime. And Mikal Bridges, again, playing stellar defense, including when the Celtics had an opportunity down by three to try to win the game or at least tie it up to send it to a second overtime. About 3 seconds left, Mikal Bridges just strips the ball away from Jalen Brown. And you mentioned the three ball for OG Anunoby and Jalen Brunson. They combined to make 11 from beyond the arc last night. It was really the three ball, DRS, on the other side for the Celtics. 15 of 60. 15 of 60 from beyond the arc. You see it right there. A playoff record, 45 missed three-pointers last night. The Celtics were ice-cold the entirety of the night, DRS, inside the TD Garden.
Sometimes you can anticipate that, like, going on the road in the tough environment, just didn't have it. You know, we had a back-to-back, and the thing and the shot wasn't falling down. That wasn't the case. They were home. They were rested and ready, and they had a big lead in that game, and all they had to do was shoot average from three-point range. They probably would have blown the Knicks out, but that didn't happen. We always used to say, like, in college basketball, where you're lining it up, live by the three, die by the three, and it happens. This is what the Celtics do. They're not going to change. They'll probably shoot 50-plus three-point shots in game number two, specifically if Tom Thibodeau is defending a structure of, okay, if they have the three-point shot, if it goes down, we're going to be in some trouble. But that's also why you're an underdog as well. You have to say, we're going to take a few things away. If the three ball goes down at a crazy rate of 45%, you're not going to beat the Celtics anyway. But the one thing that we're used to is, you know, efficiency. Like Jaylen Brown, you want to make two shots from three-point range, which shoot seven attempts, we'll take that. One of 10, not good enough. 5 of 16 from Derek White, who's one of the premier marksmen in the NBA. 7 of 23 from the floor for Tatum. 4 of 15 from three-point range. Then I always like to talk about, Ben, the bomb squad on the bench. 2 of 5 from Pritchard. You like that. Horford, 1 of 5. And then Hauser, 0 of 2. It just didn't work out in their favor. Now, here's the interesting part. You look forward to game number 2 and say, we lost that game in overtime from a Celtics perspective. We were historically bad from three-point range.
Right.
If we're not historically bad from three-point range, we should be just fine. We'll see what happens in game number 2.
And we know the volume is always going to be there. DRS, we talk about this all the time in college basketball. Styles make fights. If you are allowed to shoot the ball from beyond the arc and you play at a tempo akin to Alabama, BYU throughout the NCAA tournament, where you take 40, 42, 45% of your field goal tries from three, that could allow us to get to our totals. That could allow this side to have the advantage. This is what Boston does. Throughout the regular season, more than 53% of their field goal tries from beyond the arc. But last night, Donnie, 62% of their field goals from three. And so when you miss 45 of them, when you shoot only 25% from three-point range, of course, you are going to have a terrible night. What really stood out to me, though, despite the Knicks on that comeback, down by 20 with under 6 minutes remaining in the third quarter, still trailed by 9 at the start of the fourth. Boston did hold a double-digit lead early in that fourth and final stanza. It was down the stretch where, despite the Knicks came back to tie the game and take an advantage, it was Jason Tatum with the ball in his hands multiple times against Jalen Brunson, and then Karl Anthony Towns in the final minute, where Tatum, on a very bad shooting night, decided not to attack two defenders that he had the advantage on, DRS, but settled for a three. And you're almost like, okay, that's what the Celtics do, so you live with it. In that moment, go after them. Get to the cup. Failed to do that in the biggest moments last night.
Yeah, hey, sometimes you just fall back on what's comfortable and say, okay, I'm used to making this three-point shot. Step back. I should be just fine. And let's also take a look at Tatum. Inefficiency, yes, but also 16 rebounds in that game, which is quite impressive for only 23 points. We're not pushing the panic button on the Boston Celtics at at this point. I think they'll be just fine. It's one of those, though, if you were the Knicks, you needed to win game number one because that's usually the surprise game that you can grab, and they got it.
Tatum and Brown, a combined 5 of 25 from beyond the arc. I think Jaylen Brown's only made 3 last night. Came with about a minute and a half remaining in overtime. So the Knicks steal game number one on the road inside TD Garden. What does it mean for this series? Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Live right here on the Early Line, bright and early, live in studio together on a Tuesday morning. He's DRS, I'm BSS. Now we look at the series between the Boston Celtics and the New York Knicks, because entering game number one, DRS, entering this second round set, we weren't expecting all that much competition between the Celtics and the Knicks. Boston, a 9-point home favorite inside TD Garden for the opening game of the second round, and a minus 900 favorite outright to win this series rather comfortably and advance back to the NBA Finals. In fact, the most likely outcome, as the odds maker saw it, entering game number one last night in Beantown, Boston in five at a plus 210 number. Well, the Knicks steal game number one in OT outright as a 9-point underdog. So where does the series stand now? The Celtics still a heavy favorite at minus 370. But even minus 370, DRS, is a lot less light, or is a lot more light, I should say, than that minus 900 number entering the second round series.
Yeah, and I think now it's a buy-on opportunity if you like the Boston Celtics. Understand this. We just talked about the Boston Celtics. The focal point really wasn't that the New York Knicks went in and stole game number one. They played great basketball. You give them credit for winning a game because they're the underdogs almost by 10 points. They want it outright. Now, they have home court advantage, and we'll see what happens in game number two. But also, you do have to take some of these wins with a grain of salt by saying, you know what? It took a historically bad night for us to lose a game in overtime. If we're just average, that's a double-digit victory for us. Yep. So, again, most people would look at the line and say, well, I'm still not going to lay $370 to win $100, but certainly you weren't going to lay minus, you know, $1,000 or lay $1,000 to win $100 in game before game number one. So I'm looking at the opportunity now and say, I love what the Knicks did, and this might mean an extended series. And these are two bitter rivals that it's going to be so much fun, Ben, when they get to Madison Square Garden. Because all I asked for was a 1-1 split heading back to Madison Square Garden, where that crowd is going to be lively, believing that their Knicks can certainly overcome a lot of competition, which includes the Celtics, which they couldn't do in the regular season. But for me, that minus 370, that sticks out. Because if I'm being honest, I didn't look at that game last night like, you know what? Knicks got this series. No, they got game number one. That's why it's a seven-game series. Yeah. But if you are looking at price points now, that's much more manageable by saying, okay, yesterday down 0-1. They didn't play well. They didn't get injured in that game. The minus 370, this is a good price on the Celtics for the series. They win the series.
Yeah, and I don't think that really changes DRS. Yep. There is maybe even a thought right now that Boston is so pissed off by what they saw last night.
Correct.
They pull off the gentleman's sweep as expected, winning four in a row. Just for reference, the Celtics a now double-digit favorite, laying 10 points for game number two tomorrow night inside TD Garden against the New York Knicks. Heavily expected, of course, to split the opening two games, but you're going to have that fervor heading to Madison Square Garden in New York City because the Knicks did win at least one in Boston and, of course, show they can stick around. I think DRS is correct. If you are a Celtics backer, if you are a Boston fan, yes, last night was an embarrassment. Yes, you led by 20 to see that lead get squandered and an opportunity to hammer the Knicks as you had done all year long, as you had done all season long, and really showing who was dominant and impressive in this little rivalry, you let that slip away last night. But you missed 45 threes. Now, the Celtics are not always going to shoot at 45% from beyond the arc. The volume really does not allow that to be the case. But if Boston even makes 22 of 63s last night, they win that game and probably do so rather comfortably. Also, if you are the Celtics, we await the status of Kristaps Porzingis, who started last night, played 13 minutes, did not make a single field goal, and finished with a goose egg in terms of points. But dealing with an illness is what the Celtics said. We did not see him at all the entirety of the second half or overtime. There are little slivers of optimism for Boston, despite coughing up an opportunity to easily win game number one inside TD Garden. So as I look at it, DRS, I think the best bet in this series now is that the Celtics on the series spread laying a game and a half at only minus 114. Boston wins this series in six games. Still giving yourself some wiggle room. Boston wins in six. You cover that number and you cash it.
Makes a lot of sense, too, because also we're looking at the Boston Celtics perspective, thinking they're one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NBA. And the Knicks haven't had any success this season beating any upper echelon teams. We don't care if it took a historic effort. Still, if you're logging after the Knicks, finally we got it done. And we can win games, and particularly on the road. Now, also understand this, all statistic, Ben, that 45 of those three-point attempts were uncontested jump shots for the Boston Celtics, which will eventually get you into trouble. Where Derek Wright's not going to go 5 of 16 again. Right. You give him 10 open three-point shots, he's going to hit 8 of those primarily at this point. So I look at it as a great win for the Knicks because they didn't do this in the regular season, and then it was a loss for the Celtics, but one of those losses you can say, you know what, just don't play as bad as we can possibly play. So you have talking points on both sides, which are pretty valid.
When your superstars combine to go 5 of 25 from 3, and Jaylen Brown's only made triple from beyond the arc happens late in that extra session in OT, you can find those silver linings despite a very disappointing night inside Beantown. That was going to be my question to you, DRS. Yeah. Does this change the mentality, however? I still think you and I believe Boston wins this series, and probably comfortably so, in at least six games. Maybe not the gentleman sweep we were anticipating entering game number one last night. But for us, it was always going to be, can the Knicks even keep this game within the number? Can the New York Knicks stay competitive with the Celtics? Because they largely had failed to do that throughout this season. 0-4 straight up, 1-3 against the spread. That final game in early April when Boston had already clinched their spot. We weren't sure the starters were going to play. They did. The Celtics closed as a slight favorite, won that game by 2, did not cover. You could make an argument the Knicks were 0-4 against the original number in these matchups. But the Knicks not only are competitive, they come back from down 20 when it felt like we were seeing the same old story between these two clubs. I wonder how much confidence the Knicks take from game number one, knowing, hey, we've been able to slay that dragon. Let's go back and do it again.
Yeah, two ways to look at that, too, because you like that they actually beat the Celtics in the building there, in Boston, but also understanding this. They played great defense down the stretch. 16 points for the Boston Celtics in the fourth quarter, only 5 points in overtime. So, yes, you understand it. Also, you got to give the Knicks credit. So many times we're the underdog. You enter into game number one. What do you want? The really hot start. You're down double digits at the break. You say, man, okay, it just didn't work in game number one. Let's not get injured. Let's not use starters 50 minutes in this game. They came all the way back from 20 points down to win that game. Imagine if they didn't win that game, where the Celtics shot unbelievably terribly. We played maybe our best game and still couldn't beat the Celtics. Sure. That would have been a tough one. So I think you can wake up on either side with great talking points. But for the Knicks, they're 1-0. They better not be looking at game number two like, hey, got our one in Boston. Boy, you go in there and steal game number two now. Now we're talking.
Or you even stay within that double-digit spread. We're maybe thinking that six for the Celtics, not just an easy stroll here in this second round. If you are the Knicks as well. You missed 14 freebies last night, 17 of 31 from the charity stripe. You can find those areas to build on the optimism. The chaos in OKC between the Nuggets and the Thunder up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hey, who's historic night of NBA playoff upsets in the opening games of our second round series. We talked about the Knicks coming back from down 20 in the third quarter to win in OT in Boston, the home of the reigning champs. Mm-hmm. How about the Denver Nuggets in the home of the NBA title favorites as we enter round number two? The Oklahoma City Thunder up by double digits for a good majority of the second half last night, including DRS, up by 13 with fewer than 6.5 minutes remaining. Nikola Jokic in the Denver Nuggets had other ideas. Aaron Gordon, a three with just about three ticks left in regulation, gives Denver a 121-119 win to steal game number one on the road in OKC outright as a 10.5-point underdog. Denver takes game number one against the Thunder.
This isn't supposed to happen, particularly with a basketball team that just played a grueling seven-game series, finished in elevation, jumps on a plane, and has to play the best overall team in the NBA. And what happens in the second half? 35 points in the third quarter for Denver, 36 points for Denver in the fourth quarter for a 121-119 game. Now, we'll talk about some things that happened at the end of the game with the fouling situations, whether you agree or not. But my goodness, you want to talk about a double-digit dog who, if you said the energy was low, we're just looking to try to rebound, or if you were handicapping this game based on just adrenaline, coming off of game seven, nothing to lose, rested and ready OKC, they're not ready for the smoke, and quite frankly, they should have won going away OKC. But the fact that one team crumbled, and it wasn't the tired legs of the Denver Nuggets, it was OKC, Ben, that was the shocking point for me in that game.
That's going to be a story, DRS, that we can dive into even more. The Celtics win in five. Yep. The Knicks have to go to six games in Detroit to win. And yet the Knicks were the team that came back in the second half. The Cleveland Cavaliers won in five, as did the Pacers. So not exactly that rest disparity in that opening round set. But the number one seed in the Eastern Conference also loses it on its home floor. The number one seed in the Western Conference, the Oklahoma City Thunder, with 8 days off in between the series clincher in the four-game sweep over Memphis against a Denver team that at altitude on Saturday handled the Clippers in a seven-game grueling series. OKC up by double digits, 13 points with about 6.5 remaining in regulation, and yet Denver had other ideas. The clutch moment from Aaron Gordon, who has now had his fair share. The game winner last night, of course, the buzzer beater put back in game number five against the Clippers in that opening round series, but the fourth quarter belonged to Nikola Jokic. It will be a storyline to monitor throughout this series as well. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going to win the regular season MVP award, but the guy that has won three MVPs in the last 4 years and continues to deliver at that echelon of play. Nikola Jokic, sensational last night. A historic stat line. 42 points, 22 boards, 18 of the 42 DRS coming in the moments that mattered most in that fourth quarter.
Absolutely astounding that he can put up those numbers there in an environment where you understand you're a double-digit dog. And what's the other team saying, Ben? You know what? We're just going to let your best player beat us, which is Nikola Jokic. And for him to have 42 points, which is crazy work for him, when you typically, it's like, you know what? His normal night is 25, 26, 27 points. And then they get over 20 rebounds in a basketball game. And again, coming off of basically 48 hours ago in elevation, a pressure-packed game number seven to then deliver against the best team in the NBA was an absolutely sensational performance. You also take a look at some other guys like Christian Brown in this game. 11 points. You say, oh, maybe he should have had a little bit more. I thought he would get the 13, which would be over his 12.5. He didn't do that. But 13 rebounds chipping in. Aaron Gordon continues to be clutch with 22. But sometimes it's just a focus of one team in OKC. We expect greatness out of them, even though they haven't achieved greatness just yet. That's a wake-up call and an unbelievable win for the Denver Nuggets. And again, they have home court advantage for the best home court advantage in basketball. It does include fans where you play. What an impressive performance by the Nuggets.
To see what we did last night, for both of our underdogs to be catching at least 9 points pregame, the Knicks a 9-point dog, Denver a 10.5-point underdog, not just to win game number one outright against the teams that were minus money favorites to win their respective conferences, heavy favorites in these series, favorites to match up against one another in the NBA championship set, but DRS to be trailing by 20 for the Knicks in Boston to come back in that second half, for Denver to be trailing by 13 with 6.5 minutes remaining to come back. It wasn't like the Nuggets were in front the entire time and OKC couldn't play catch up. It wasn't like the Knicks had the lead early on over Boston either. To come back in the way they did, to win outright as hefty underdogs in game one to be trailing by as many points as they did at certain junctures of the second half. Remarkable and historic last night. So what it means for OKC and Denver. The Thunder still an odds-on favorite to win the Western Conference, but maybe that playoff pedigree for the Nuggets in the change in leadership is paying dividends here in the postseason. Plenty more on the early line. Comes your way up next on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Tuesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid, a historic Monday night in game ones in our second round series around the NBA playoffs. For the first time in the last 2.5 decades, two underdogs catching at least 9 points win outright on the same night of NBA playoff action happening in our only two games. The Knicks in overtime, down by 16 at the break, 20 early in the third quarter, beat the Celtics as a 9-point underdog outright in Boston. And the Denver Nuggets trailing by 13 points with 6.5 minutes remaining in regulation. Nikola Jokic spurs on the comeback, and Aaron Gordon completes it with a made three with 3.1 ticks remaining in regulation to give Denver the 121-119 victory outright as a 10.5-point underdog in Oklahoma City. This was always going to be our question, DRS, about the Thunder. They do not own the same postseason pedigree and experience of a former champ like Denver, and yet the runaway favorite to win the Western Conference crown. And we thought maybe it'd be Shea Gilgeous-Alexander or Jalen Williams or Chet Holmgren, who missed two consecutive free throws last night, allowing Aaron Gordon the opportunity to put Denver in front. Or maybe OKC's head coach in Mark Daigneault. That a couple of interesting moments in the final 15 seconds of regulation. After a couple of made free throws from SGA, the Thunder led 117-114. The old adage, do you foul when you are up by three? OKC elected to do so, fouling both Nikola Jokic and Aaron Gordon in about a 4-second span with about 10 seconds remaining in regulation, both guys hitting both of their free throws to stay within it. So then when Holmgren misses his two at the charity stripe, allowing the opportunity for the Nuggets to win that game in regulation. DRS, when you're up by 13 with about 6.5 minutes remaining, when you're up by three with 13 seconds left, you are not expecting to lose that game, certainly not in regulation. What did you make of the ending last night in Oklahoma City?
I think that the concept was correct the way they played it out, because we talk about this much more, it feels like, in college basketball at this point, where foul, where you don't give them a chance to shoot the three-point shot, then you put the odds in your favor, which, again, handicapping games, you're only looking to put the odds and saying what maximizes your best way to victory. Now, before we get there, too, the Knicks coming back in the Garden, astounding. Like, you're supposed to be the higher-seeded team. It's the other way around. The higher-seeded team down in game number one, coming back from 15 points. Like, oh, here they come, making a charge here. Same thing with OKC. But also, at the end of the game, you have to understand this. Like, time is of the essence. Like, you're trying to limit possessions for the other team to win and saying, all right, well, maybe they're going to have the basketball game with 2 seconds left. They have to go full court and drain a three-point shot to beat you. Then you're not going to foul when you're up 3 points. But the fact that they fouled immediately on the inbound without letting any time off the clock, because usually the pressure point, Ben, is what, 10 seconds or less?
For sure.
Don't let them get a three-point shot off. You inbound the pass. They dribble up around half court. There's 9 seconds left. Then you foul and say, okay, we're going to limit the damage, because correct me if I'm wrong, that late three-point shot came with around 3 seconds left to go. You never would have enough time to even get that shot off.
That's
the issue I have. I always foul up three, but the execution of when you fouled didn't make so much sense to me, because you could have gotten away with under 2.5 to 3 seconds before you fouled again, and case in point, you would have won the game.
And that's the strategy right there, as DRS laid it out. It's not that Mark Daigneault decided to foul up three with OKC. They committed two fouls in a 2-second span of game time. Nikola Jokic was fouled with 12.2 seconds remaining. He makes both free throws. SGA quickly scores to put OKC back up by three, which is what you want to do. And then Aaron Gordon fouled immediately with 10.1 seconds remaining. Both of those fouls up three, coming north of 10 seconds remaining in regulation, allowing the opportunity. Now, Chet Holmgren hits his free throws. It's a different situation.
Correct.
We understand that. But it allows the opportunity down the stretch. If you waste some time, there's 4 seconds remaining. There's the foul. The window of opportunity for Denver, not nearly as high. So, DRS, as we shared, the Knicks take game number one on the road in Boston. Boston was a minus 900 favorite to win this series entering the opening game last night. Now it's minus 370. OKC entered game number one last night, a minus 820 series outright favorite. They get game one taken from them on their own home floor, and now it's minus 320. Again, still very heavily favored to the Thunder's way of going, but again, it feels more as a competitive series than we were anticipating entering game one.
No, it's fantastic. I love the fact that Denver won that game number one. Again, unless you have a ticket on OKC, you thought they would sweep, or even if you thought they would win and cover game number one, that is the difference here. But now you're taking a look at the pedigree, and that's always the question mark that we have. We've loved OKC the entire season. We didn't doubt that they were actually the best team with the best record, but as always, you can punch holes in a great story by saying, yeah, that's great, but they didn't win three straight championships looking for a fourth straight, where they're used to having adversity in the playoffs. They cruised in round number one, but also understand this. They got a good punch from Memphis in Memphis, basically without Ja Morant for two games. So it wasn't as if they had a sweep and won each one of those games by 15 and 20 points, like we're looking at, just say, the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are already down 0-1 in their series. I'm interested in the bounce back point because, again, adversity is going to face them at one point. You're looking at the lines here at the FanDuel Sportsbook for the next game already. 11.5 as a favorite here for the home team, OKC. I'm interested to see what Denver does, because make no mistake about it, they've won a championship before. Denver's not saying, whew, man, mission accomplished, Ben. Got game number one. Who cares about game number two?
Sure.
Send Jokic back, you know, home for him to get rested and ready. I need to see that first half at OKC. I'm expecting it to be explosive. If I'm thinking about a way already to bet that game, give me OKC minus the points in the first half. Let's see what they got.
And that, they had the big lead at the half last night. They had the big lead through a good majority of the third and even fourth quarter. The odds makers expecting that resolve and the bounce back from Boston and Oklahoma City in game number two, understanding the necessity behind it, of course, to even earn a split on their own home floor. Boston, a greater favorite for game two, 9 points in favor of the Seas in game one, already 10 points for tomorrow night. Oklahoma City, 10.5-point favorite in the opening game against Denver, now 11.5-point spread in favor of the Thunder. One thing I find rather fascinating, we have talked about the series spread now being just a game and a half in favor of both OKC and Boston. The Celtics laying a game and a half to win in six or even earlier is minus 118. A little bit more juice, expecting that to be the case for the Celtics. You see it here in the series spread, as we can show it once again. The Nuggets getting a game and a half as the slight series underdog, but minus 114. Not a substantial line like we might see in some of these playoff series, but the more likely outcome, just for what it is worth, courtesy of the odds makers. DRS, how much do you put into the stock of the rest versus rust debate? 8 games in between for Oklahoma City. Tested in those 2 games in the grind city against Memphis, but 8 games off. Denver had to go to 7 at altitude on Saturday evening to knock off the Clippers in a tightly contested opening round set. I don't know necessarily if they were riding that momentum because they were trailing by 13 in the fourth quarter with about 6.5 minutes remaining. But we have now seen our 2-1 seeds in Cleveland and OKC losing game number one, in the reigning champs and the Eastern Conference favorites in the Celtics losing game number one as well.
Yeah, there's no real way to say like the argument would be completed even though it's just played out. But I'm always a big proponent of, hey, look, if you're not playing, you can't lose and you can't get injured for the most part. So I always like the teams that are rested and ready in that environment. But it was just surprising where sometimes you can ride it off as, yes, OKC is engaged in playoff mode. Yeah, because they won their series by 4 games. But also understand this. The Denver Nuggets, who have a championship just a few short years ago and also had a 7-game series against a very competitive team, maybe riding that momentum, saying, hey, we're in our day-to-day already playoff grind mode. Give us a day off. We'll be ready to go on the following day. And they did that. And also the surprising factor was, you know, you get beat up in the first half, but then you close in the second. That's not supposed to happen with a team that just played a 7-game series, right, ends the lower seed at that point. That was the important part that showed here. But also, when we're looking at that pricing for the series, like if I asked you a question, which one is more likely to go 6 games, not even 7, I still would look at it and say, you know what, it's probably that Denver series. They showed me a lot in that game last night. It wasn't a historical collapse for OKC like we saw for the Boston Celtics, and also the pedigree as well. The New York Knicks, been a long time since they won anything, including a championship. Denver might have the best player in the sport playing the best he can play right now, and already knows, like, I've won a championship. I know the path.
42 points, 22 boards for Nikola Jokic last night. 18 of those 42 coming in the critical junctures of that fourth quarter. And DRS, to your point, right, the Knicks really had not been overly competitive with the Celtics throughout the regular season. Denver now, out of the 5 games played against OKC, has won three of the five. They split the regular season four matchups against one another. The Thunder still remain the odds-on favorites to win the Western Conference crown around minus 145. But yesterday, that number closer to $2 in a minus money manner. Still the Thunder and the Celtics as your NBA championship favorites. But some of those lower seeds providing at least a better test than we anticipated early on here in round number two. Football headlines on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
We welcome you back to this Tuesday morning, live in person in studio on the early line on Sports Grid. Some big football headlines from a Tuesday afternoon. DRS, Justin Tucker, the all-world, all-pro kicker for the Baltimore Ravens, released yesterday by the Ravens organization. And what GM Eric DaCosta is calling strictly a football decision. Now, Justin Tucker, who has spent all 13 years of his NFL career with this Ravens organization, is coming off by far the worst year of his career in 2024, but of course that is just a part of the story. Tucker currently under investigation by the National Football League as 16 different women have accused him of sexual misconduct in terms of massage therapy sessions around the greater Baltimore area. So under NFL investigation, but the Ravens organization saying this is strictly a football decision. What did you make of the move, DRS, and the reasoning behind it?
I don't mind the move itself from a football decision, if that's what they're calling. We'll get that in a second. Because it's pretty clear that he's the best kicker of all time, but really fell off for the past 2 years. I mean, kicks that would be like, okay, cross midfield, that's an automatic 3 points. Now we're like, ooh, can he even make extra points at this point? But understand this, too. Football teams are very calculated, and something has to do with, like, hey, I want to make this move, but let me contact our lawyers here of how we need to word this so we don't get a lawsuit back. And then you say to yourself, no. We've seen this before where guys get in legal trouble, fights, domestic violence, gun charges, and if you're not a great football player, you're released immediately. And what do they say to that franchise? We will not allow this to ever happen again on our franchise. We are zero tolerance. But now for the past 2 years, you're hearing some of these rumors like, we'll play it by ear. And you even heard them say just a few months ago, we're going to let the legalities play out until you get that crescendo from the fan base that goes, is this worth the trouble? We're going to run this guy out here where he's going to have these allegations probably continuously pop up. And is he worth the trouble? Now understand this. If he made all his kicks last year, he would have been worth the trouble no matter what he was doing off the field until he was convicted here. But I look at it and say, just be honest with us.
Right.
We're releasing Justin Tucker. A lot of things going into us. Is it football? Yes. Is it off the field? Yes. We wish him well, and so be it. So you know what? I can deal with that. But the fact that they came out and said, you know what? We waited this long because it's just the football decision. You know what a football decision does? The minute the season ends, he's cut immediately here. And you postmark it for June 1st, and you live with it. This was not a strictly football decision as the Ravens are playing it.
And they tried to make it seem as such. Here's a statement from GM Eric DaCosta about the decision to release Justin Tucker after 13 years with the organization. Sometimes football decisions are incredibly difficult, and this is one of those instances. Considering our current roster, we have made the tough decision to release Justin Tucker. Justin created many significant and unforgettable moments in Ravens history. His reliability, focus, drive, resilience, and extraordinary talent made him one of the league's best kickers for over a decade. We are grateful for Justin's many contributions while playing for the Ravens. We sincerely wish him and his family the very best in this next chapter of their lives, which, again, if it is just a football decision, you thank the guy for what he has done for nearly a decade and a half in your organization. But it does seem a little bit nearsighted, DRS, for a guy that, hey, he has not been proven anything right now. Inappropriate behavior are the allegations against him and currently under investigation by the NFL. Nothing has been charged against Justin Tucker at this moment. He does not face any discipline or punishment at this current time from the National Football League office. But with that said, he is still under investigation. There are ways to handle this from a public standpoint, knowing you are going to have this with all the notoriety. It's a little bit different than the statement released by the Ravens. Yes.
Absolutely. And understand this, what a football decision means. Like, he didn't go from the best kicker of all time, which he was, to the worst kicker in the NFL. He's an average kicker. If this was a football decision that came out and said, you know what, for what we're getting and how much money he makes, we asked him to restructure. He said, no, we let him go. That's a football decision. But you know where this is going to creep into, Ben? Justin Tucker gets released today. And here's the opportunity where if it was really a football decision or not, I don't think anybody else picks him up. Not because he can't still kick a football, right, but they don't want the baggage that comes along with a kicker who's not the greatest of all time anymore. And that's what clouds the situation. Do I applaud the Ravens for getting rid of him? No, you should have got rid of him when the allegations came up, or at least came out with a strong statement. We vehemently disagree what's going on right now. We have to let the legal discourse play out. We'll let you know at a further date. And the further date should have been like, yeah, the legalities are playing out. We just don't understand what's going on. We have a zero conduct policy here in our organization. But to just come out and say, hey, you know what? That's May. Hey, you know what? I saw him last week. He missed a 47-yarder practice at the facility. We're just going to let him go. That didn't happen.
Part of it could be what the Ravens did in the NFL draft. It's true. Drafted a kicker out of Arizona, Tyler Loop, in the sixth round, the first time in the 30-year history of the Ravens franchise. They drafted a kicker in the NFL draft. It's part of the roster construction. We understand that. And if it is a football decision, that's the Ravens' priority. But again, with the circumstances around it, knowing this guy is under investigation by the National Football League, you have to at least be wary of those decisions you make.
Now, by the way, also, Ben, because I thought you were going here with the draft as well, they drafted a defensive end that had some questionable pass, who's a very talented kid that slipped into a second round here because of what the allegations would be. And as soon as they drafted him, what was the first point most people brought up? Well, that's interesting for the Ravens. They already have one, you know, issue here. Now you're drafting another guy. And again, we're not saying that's going to repeat it or it's even going to be finality in the court of law, but that's a bad look for an organization. Maybe saying, all right, we can have one, just not two, and hopefully it works out in our favor.
Mike Hill, that player drafted by the Ravens late in the second round, graded by many with first round talent, but does have some very serious allegations against him dating back to sexual assault allegations during high school and at his first stop collegiately at Virginia. Many people cited, DRS, a quote from John Harbaugh around the Deshaun Watson trade and large contract given out by AFC North rival the Cleveland Browns, where Harbaugh said he was glad to work in the Ravens organization where they have a zero tolerance policy for anything of that conduct. And yet here we are. So we'll see what the future is for Justin Tucker, still under investigation by the National Football League. Some other football headlines on a Monday as well. Sharon Moore going to be suspended by Michigan, self-imposed discipline in terms of the sign-stealing scandal around Connor Stallions. Moore going to miss week three, week number four against Central Michigan and Michigan's Big Ten opener against Nebraska. So Moore can be there for game number two against his alma mater in Oklahoma. Oh, the self-imposed discipline for a scandal we all said was nothing.
It is pretty good. Like, we chewed on this pretty good yesterday, particularly on TEL when it came out immediately, and then on Moneyline. But I think the best part of this point is, like, Ben, if you got or I got suspended from the network, and you're like, Donnie, I don't want you to miss the Super Bowl, but we'll suspend you for the Monday after the Super Bowl. Like, well, how serious of an actual penalty is it? The fact that he played at Oklahoma, wants to go back to Oklahoma, coach, like, you know what? You can do that. You'll skip Central Michigan. Knock it off. Just don't suspend them.
I mean, Jim Harbaugh suspended for six games during the 2023 season. Sharon Moore now for two games in 2025. Stanley Cup playoff action next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ending out this opening hour live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. The start of round number two in a couple of spots last night in the association and round number two last night on the ice. It is not often the Maple Leafs in the last decade have seen this second round, just the second time in the last nine playoff appearances for Toronto. But they were there last night against the reigning Stanley Cup champs up in the six. And the Maple Leafs take game number one on home ice as an ever so slight home ice dog against the Florida Panthers. Toronto wins 5-4 to take game number one DRS against the Florida Panthers. Total of 5.5 skies over with 9 combined goals in the opening game of this.
Hey, there you go, man. You want to also get those good starts, which they did get. Toronto 3-1 after the first period, 4-1 after the second period. Game got a little bit closer in the third period, 5-4. Late goal by the Panthers made that a little bit closer. But also understanding this, you're taking a look from a Toronto perspective. Anthony Stolarz, the goalie, only had 9 save attempts in that game because he left with a concussion or concussion-like symptoms at that point. That's something to certainly track at this point. They don't know if it was an elbow, which the team says it was, or was a puck to the face, which happened in the earlier in the game, which one would actually were the cause of it, maybe just a compounded scenario. But a good win for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Every win they get in round number two, it feels like an absolute Stanley Cup win because it feels like it's uncharted territory for them. Good win against a good club here, but you wanted to get out to that lead. You hate the fact that you let it slip away a bit in the third period, but you won the game. That's the goal.
Still won the game. You were a home ice ever so slight underdog. Florida around a minus 125 money line price entering game number one last night. DRS 2 years ago when the Leafs last won in an opening round playoff series, they played Florida as well, of course, lost that set in 5 games, hoping for different things this time around. It got a little bit dicey for the Leafs in the opening round against the Ottawa Senators. They were up 3-0. Ottawa wins the next 2 games, but the Leafs did ice it out in game number 6. So Florida's still a series favorite in this second round set against Toronto, but as we look at those Stanley Cup playoff odds to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup at the end of this postseason sprint, the Dallas Stars remain the favorites at plus 410 over a half dollar in front of the Carolina Hurricanes at a plus 470 price. DRS, the Stars were not the favorites in their opening round series.
Correct.
Against the Colorado Avalanche. Had to go to 7 to knock off the Avs. The Hurricanes easily roll over the New Jersey Devils, and yet now Dallas is that Stanley Cup favorite here at the start of round two.
It's amazing. Sometimes you take a look at and try to handicap how the NFL works, how the NBA works. It's completely different in hockey at this point. And you take a look at even the Toronto Maple Leafs yesterday, picking up a win, having home ice advantage, and winning on their home ice, and only a minus 122 favorite to win that series, despite winning game number one, having home ice, and away you go at this point. Sometimes it's about the luck of the draw that you have. So when you look at those standings, say, well, they're not the best team or the best team by in regulation, should I say, in the regular season, and then you find out this way, though. But it's interesting because you're looking at what? Plus 410, plus 470, plus 550, plus 550, plus 650, 7-1, 10-1. That's incredible, man, for that many teams to be stacked up in that close. It just shows you how hard it is to actually win a Stanley Cup.
And again, it is really fascinating, DRS, to look at those two teams with the longest prices. Of course, the Winnipeg Jets, we thought would roll in their opening round series against the Blues. A dramatic Game 7, one of the best endings of a Game 7 you will ever see for Winnipeg to edge out St. Louis in overtime, scoring with 3 seconds remaining in regulation to force that extra session. But, of course, the Jets trying to go against the President's Trophy curse. We'll see if they can. Now, the second longest price. The Caps have the best record in the Eastern Conference, and yet the longest price now to win Lord Stanley's Cup because they start their second round series with home ice advantage tonight in D.C., and yet they are taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina minus 178 to win that series as of this moment. And, Donnie, we are going to see this year, especially with how tightly compacted things are from the Stanley Cup odds, but certainly on the ice in the Stanley Cup postseason. The Hurricanes, a favorite to win game number one tonight on the road at minus 122. Pretty hefty favorite in that series. We just mentioned it for Toronto. They were a slight home ice underdog in game number one. They win 5-4. They are the slight series favorites now, despite being the series underdog entering the opening game last night. And yet, even a stronger dog for game number two. If you believe in the Panthers with the Stanley Cup pedigree as the reigning champs, you can get Florida now as the series underdog, expected to even the set before we head to Sunday.
Exactly, and understand this too, because so many times you're looking at hockey where they don't disclose what the injuries are, and they probably wouldn't, but if their goalie gets carried out on a stretcher and vomiting because he might have a concussion at that point, that doesn't sound like I'm back in for game two, three, or four at this point. You lose your starting goalie in the playoffs, that could be an issue for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we'll find out how it plays out. But it is interesting to see, like the road teams here, like, they're the better teams here. Wait, the higher seed? Yeah, it doesn't matter at this point.
The Caps, a home ice underdog tonight in D.C. The Golden Knights in Vegas, a slight favorite against Connor McDavid and Edmonton. Also last night, draft lottery in the National Hockey League.
Bad news.
The New York Islanders will have the number one overall selection. Hour number two up next.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.